126th Psalm. Beautiful psalm, I think one that's very familiar to most of you. Let's read it, the whole thing. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And of course, those verses are talking about deliverance. And very practically, historically, the return of Israel to the out of captivity, but I think also the principle to be applied is to every one of us that have received deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We ought to be a happy bunch because of that. I mean, the heathen ought to say, man, I don't know what's wrong with those people, and they're the strangest people you've ever seen, but man, all I know is they're happy. They're just happy. And then in verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again and rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Heavenly Father, as we study the Bible tonight, and as we make preparation for a new year, I pray, Lord, you would use this message in our life. Give us something else to begin to plan, prepare for, so that we can have a successful year. Lord, the harvest truly is plenteous. The labors are few. And so I'm going to pray even now, Lord, as you've asked me to do. I'm praying to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers unto his harvest. Lord, I believe the time is short. One more year is off, Lord. The calendar year is all but gone. And if it doesn't do anything else, it puts us that much closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that we'd be busy in the harvest during this upcoming year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. If you watch something that is wonderful and great, if you see a performance, you hear a special, you hear a message, something that when you see the performance of it, there's greatness in it. I promise you, the greatness was not in the performance. The greatness was in the preparation. Let me say that again. The greatness was not in the performance. The greatness was in the preparation. We're taking the Wednesday nights in December to help you to prepare to have a great, successful year. And so I've just chosen four areas that I wanted to teach on the four Wednesday nights of December that kind of allows us to look ahead into 2011 and to take December and use it as a month to prepare so that we can have a successful new year. I taught on our first Wednesday night on this subject, your Bible in the new year, and I certainly hope that you have not just set some goals, but that you've made some definite plans so that you have a successful year when it comes to your relationship with the Word of God. Are you ready for that? Have you done it? You're not just going to walk into another year with no plan whatsoever, ever, slipshod approach to the relationship. Have a definite plan. Have a definite plan. I taught last week on your family and the new year, and I hope that you'll take some of what was taught and take it into consideration. I want, and I hope it is for everybody in here. I hope that 2011 for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for your family unit is just the greatest year that you've ever had. Tonight I want to teach on this subject, your witness and the new year. Your witness and the new year. I think that this is another area that if we do not plan and prepare for, we're not going to be successful at. It's one of those things that if you just always know you need to do it and you intend to one day do it, but you don't have a plan to do it, you're probably never going to do it. I don't know what I just said, but boy, it sounded good. Honestly, it's just, you know, it's a great thing. You know it's right. You know the Lord teaches it. You know all of these things. But if you don't have a plan, you know, if you don't have a plan and you don't make some commitments to this matter of being an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year, then probably another year will come and go and there will be very few people that you've impacted for eternity. I want to give you just six words tonight. If you got a pen and paper and want to jot them down, fine. If not, listen carefully. Because I think there's six great character traits of a successful soul winner. And these things, if you'll incorporate them in the planning as you look ahead into a new year, I think that you will and can be very successful at impacting the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Six great character traits of a successful soul winner. Number one, let me give you this word, commitment. Commitment. If you don't commit yourself to the idea, commit yourself to being a soul winner, then you're probably not going to be it. It's one of those things that require a decision of dedication in your life. This will be a part of my life in the year 2011. Look at verse number 5 in Psalm 126. Now look at the very first word. What is the very first word? All right, here's my admonition to you tonight. Be one of the they. Be one of the they. All right, let me ask you this. Honest question. Every one of you, you need to consider it in your own heart and life. Were you one of the they in 2010? Were you one of the they in 2010? Let me tell you that, and I don't want to take God out of it, but I'm going to tell you something that I've just come to believe. God's plan is for us to increase the labors in the harvest, and I promise you this, the harvest increases in proportion to the number of laborers that you send into the harvest. Some of it is just a numbers game. Some of it is just plain old mathematics. You know, a lot of churches, you'd be shocked, the churches in America where none of the membership is involved in evangelism, involved in soul winning, involved in much of anything. That's, in their mind, why they hired their preacher. They hired him to go win people to Christ. They hired him to go evangelize the world. But, of course, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that it's the responsibility of every Christian to be involved in evangelism. If you are saved, then you have a responsibility, just as someone brought you the gospel, to go turn around and take the gospel to other people. Now, let me just give you a little bit of the numbers game. And I wouldn't know exactly, but I think throughout the year, from the numbers I was kind of going over in my head right before the service, and I didn't really get a pen and put it to paper, but I think on an average week, we probably have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we have on an average week probably about 60 or 70 people that go out on a regular, faithful, scheduled time to go out and invite other people to church, take their soul-winning New Testaments, pass out gospel tracts, and when God opens the opportunity, open their Bibles and share the plan of salvation. Now, I'd really like to see that number get up over 100 in 2011. You say, preacher, why? Because, let me just give you this. If we had the mentality of most churches and you all thought that it was my job and that's why you hired me and I went out every week invited 10 people to church, then how many people are going to get invited to church every week? Now think about this. I just want to show you why the power, God, there's a wonderful power in the assembly. And so now think about this. What if 100 people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church went out and just went and visited and invited 10 people a week to church? How many people would be invited to church every week? 1,000. Now that's it. Now, okay, let's go to the natural conclusion. If you've got one person inviting 10 people a week, how many visitors are you going to have in a given year? Oh, you'll probably have some. If you've got 100 people inviting 10 and 1,000 people in your community is invited by members of a church every week to come to church, how many of you think on a real regular basis we're going to have visitors walk in Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Now, what I've said all that to say this, if you're not part of the they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If you're not part of the they, my appeal is for you to make a commitment. That's the first word. A commitment to be a part of the they. A commitment to be one of the number that on a weekly basis is willing to go out and be involved in soul winning, visitation opportunities, witnessing opportunities in the new year. Let me give you the second word. I think it's very important. After someone makes a commitment, I think they need to be trained. Here's the second word, training. Training. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I believe that sometimes we drop the ball. Sometimes we are asking and sometimes reminding people of the commitment and the command to go soul winning. But if we do not do a good job in providing training opportunities, then a lot of times people have a desire to go, but they just don't know how, so they're intimidated. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Preacher, you've been doing it all your life. I get it. You know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I feel bad every time you preach on it, but I don't know how. I had one of our young men that's been riding in on the buses and coming faithfully just a couple weeks ago said, Preacher, somebody told me you have a piece of paper that you use that tells how to mark your Bible and how to win somebody to Christ and the plan of salvation. Could I have one of them? And man, I'll tell you what, I wish I got that request every week, you know. And I was glad to meet with this young man, give him this piece of paper and real quickly go over it. But to be honest with you, it was a reminder to me. I thought to myself real quickly, when's the last time we had a soul winning course taught here? And I'm going to take 3 Sunday nights in January, and right at the beginning of the year, I want us to take our 3 Sunday night services in a row, maybe 4, but 3 for sure, and I want to just retrain and reteach on the nuts and bolts of just winning somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been probably a couple years since we've done that. We're overdue. And so I want to teach it. Now, I found out this. I've sat through a lot of soul winning courses, training courses in my life. And you know what? I've never regretted sitting in a new one. Because it's amazing how, no matter how much I have learned through the years about visitation and soul winning, I hardly have ever sat underneath one of these things where I didn't learn something new or be reminded of something or thought, you know what, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore, and I need to get back to doing that because that works, that's effective, that's the right way to do it. And so training, the greatest soul winners, let me encourage some of you, the greatest soul winners at one time did not know how to win a soul to Christ. Are you getting this? And so I don't want you to feel bad. We want to train you. If you make a commitment, preacher, I want to be part of the they. I want to go visiting. I want to make an impact. I know there's lost people that need the gospel, but I don't know how. Well, you come Sunday nights in January, we'll train you. If you're not a soul winner and you want to be a soul winner, let me just say this, though. The greatest advice I could give you is to go soul winning with an experienced soul winner. Because even though you take the courses and take a soul winning course, it's kind of like anything else. You can sit there and be taught to do something, but until you go out there and just put your hand to it, they do help. I want to also challenge our soul winners. If you are a soul winner, let me just say this. The greatest thing that you could do in 2011 is to decide to disciple someone who wants to be a soul winner. Just take somebody and teach them and take them with you. Hey, if you're going to go anyway, why not recruit somebody that's not going? And a lot of the times, the way that folks in the church begin to go soul winning is not from an appeal from the pulpit, but somebody in the pew that comes over and says, listen, you know what? I go soul winning at this time every week. Is there any possible way that you could come sometimes with me and just reach out and recruit somebody and involve somebody in the visitation process? So that's the second word, commitment and training. Number three, let me give you this word, obedience. Obedience. I made a commitment. I want to be part of the day. I'm going to get my training. And then what do? Well, you just go. You just obey. The Bible, of course, gives us and records for us the words of Jesus Christ that we call the great commission. The great commitment, followed by the great training and the great obedience. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, folks, we simply need to obey the Lord. Preacher, I've made a commitment and I've got some training, but I don't know if I'm ready. You're ready. We'll send you with somebody. We'll send you. Just go with somebody. Just go with somebody. I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. Just go with somebody. Just go. Now, preacher, why go soul winning? It's very easy for a guy like me who just takes the Bible as black and white, what it says it means. And this is why I go soul winning. To go is to obey. To not go is to disobey. Let me say it again. To go is to obey. To not go is to disobey. And so let me challenge you to just go. One of the things I said to our teenagers when I used to be a youth pastor here is I would say this. I would say to them often, you know what, not all of you will grow up and God call you to full-time ministry. Not all of you will be a preacher and shouldn't be. Not all of you will be an evangelist and shouldn't be. Not all of you will be missionaries and shouldn't be. But every single one of you should be a soul winner for your entire life. Every one of you. So I'm appealing to you. I'm not mad at you. But if you fell off the wagon in 2010, if you had to stand right now before God and answer for the number of people that you impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you would be sorrowful to stand before God and give that report. Then turn that thing around. Just decide you're going to obey and you're going to go. Number four, let me give you the next word. Burden. Burden. Now the Bible, of course, tells us that obedience comes before the burden. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Now the weeping comes after the going. If you would like to just take your Bibles real quick, let's run over to Matthew chapter 9. And again, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture and really a very basic truth that I think most of you that have sat under preaching get, you understand. But not everyone has been taught these things. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. A burden for souls always comes after the obedience to go. In Matthew 9:35 it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. If you're not going, you probably don't have much of a burden. But you do not wait for a burden to go. You obey to go, and in the process of going, you develop the burden for souls. Lamentations 5:31, Solomon wrote, mine eye affecteth mine heart. The honest truth is, when we go and see the need, that's when our heart is touched because of the need. Obedience always precedes a burden. I don't understand these people that have a burden for the bus ministry. I be honest with you, preacher, I don't want to be mean or cruel, but I just don't. I'm not moved like they're moved. I don't get it. It's because you're not going like they're going. If you go and see what they saw and you go week in and week out, you would have a burden like they have. If you don't go, you're not going to develop a burden. And so I think one of the most important things to do is to just obey, but understand as you obey, the burden, the compassion for lost souls will begin to build in your life. You know, when God dealt with my heart as a teenage boy that I needed to start going out on visitation, I did not begin to go out and was moved to go out because I had a great burden for souls. I began to be moved and convicted about not going because of my disobedience in not going. But as I began to go with the men in this church, and as I began to watch them plead with sinners and share the gospel and see sometimes people come to Christ, then my burden for the need, my eye began to affect my heart. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't so much that I was going because I needed to obey, but I was going because I was burdened to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank God for that. I believe that the years, I think I've said this from the pulpit, and I do, I'm very thankful for the years when I was in Bible college, that God kind of took me out of my rural country roots element and put me for a few years into inner city, because I believe, and I look back on those years and I think to myself, you know what, in Bible college, my Monday through Friday classes, they trained my head, but the weekends, they trained my heart. And you're going to get a burden as you go. I'm glad that I have gone now, I think, 4 or 5 different times into Mexico on missions trips. You know why? Because mine eye hath affected my heart. I'm glad that I've taken a trip or two into Canada and just seen the need up there. You know why? Mine eye hath affected my heart. I'm glad the church sent me and Cheryl to Australia, mine eye hath affected my heart. But not just outside the boundaries, you know. I'm glad that years ago a bunch of us went to West Virginia and helped the Bibers. And you know what? I never see that state without thinking of the need in those hills and hollers of West Virginia. Mine eye hath affected my heart. I'm glad a few months ago we flew out to Montana and got to see what Derek and Rebecca's doing. When I read their letters, a lot of times in my office, I weep as I read their letters. Why mine eye hath affected my heart. Folks, if you're not willing to go, you're never going to get tenderized. You're never going to weep till you go. You're never going to cry till you go. Well, if the Lord ever gives me a burden, I'll go. God's not going to give you a burden. He's going to give you a command. And as you obey the command, the burden will come. I still have a hard time anytime. Every once in a while, I'm driving for some reason across southern Indiana. I carry an enormous burden for our Judea. I do. I will stop randomly in cities. And there's good-sized cities in southern Indiana. And I'll stop and I'll go into a gas station. I'll ask for a phone book and I'll go through the yellow pages and I'll look, is there an independent fundamental church in this area? And a lot of times I'll look into a phone book and there's not one independent fundamental Baptist church in entire segments of southern Indiana. And I get burdened about that. I do. I'm always scratching my head saying, well, what can we do about this? What can we figure out here? And it's because I go and I see. I got a call this, well, it wasn't this week. Yeah, it was this week, I think. And I got a call about a month ago from a guy, and we're still trying to work out logistics, but I think first of the year I'm going to go down and meet him. But there's a brother that wants to start a church in Salem and over there towards the Louisville area and in Salem. And he's excited, and he's got some property, and he's got a hold of a building, and he called me up. Somebody told him, call Jerry Ross. If nobody else from southern Indiana help you, he's a sap. He'll figure out a way to help you. And I said, brother, he said, I want to come and tell you about it. I said, no, I don't want you to come tell me about it. I want to come to you and I want to see it. And I said, I'll drive down. I said, let me get through the holidays. And wow. I think I've eaten too much fudge already and cookies and good night. But let me get past the holidays. I said, let me get into January, second, third week. I said, I'll call you back. We'll work it out. I'm gonna take a half day and drive down there. And I want to see your property. I want to see the building. I want to see the area. I said, I want to see the maps. And I will know as much. I don't know about as much, but I will probably come close to knowing as much about where he's at and what's there, as he knows by the time I get there. You know why? Because to me, somebody's got to get a burden. And I'm not going to give a dime to somebody that doesn't have a burden. You know, a lot of guys out there think they want to do something until they actually roll up their sleeves. Why are you going? I'm trying to figure out whether or not this guy's serious about it. I'm serious. You know, I've thrown enough bad money away after somebody says they want to do something, and after a while they don't want to do it. So I'm going to go check him out. Hey, I want to drive around with him. I want to see if he sees what I see. If he says he's called there and he can't see what I see and I'm not called there, then I don't want to help the guy until he can see what I see. You know. And so a burden's got to come. Number five, let me give you this, because this would be a very practical point to help you in your witness in the new year. The fifth word is accountability. Let me say this, folks. A commitment, training, obedience, and a burden will come, but a burden is based on the heart. It really is. You can't base what you're going to do just on a burden. Because are you with me tonight? Are you listening? Are you awake? A burden comes and goes, but a command is consistent. And let me say this. If I went when I was burdened, I would go a lot, but I can't trust the heart of Jerry Ross enough to base my obedience on a burden. And so I want to base it on obedience and I want to base it on accountability. That's why I put these two as bookends around the word burden. Because many of you have made a commitment, you've gotten the training, you've said I'm going to obey, and then you've got a burden. But you know what? Now that's history and you're not going anymore. What happened? You didn't build in accountability. Now look up here and let me help you with something. There's a reason that we have regularly scheduled soul winning opportunities here. Let me tell you the number one reason. Accountability. Accountability. If you know someone's waiting to meet you and go with you at a certain time, you're probably going to show up there. If you're going to say, well, preacher, you know what, my schedule's so crazy and it's just hard for me to commit to anything, so I'll tell you what, I'll just try to work it in every week. Let me ask you, how's that gone? How's that work for you? How many times have you actually got out there to do it? And so one of the best pieces of advice I can give you is to build in accountability into your life. Because there's days, I promise you it's true, and I think it's true with you, there's days when I want to go soul winning. Please don't fire me for this. But there's days I don't want to go soul winning. Especially if it's raining, or if it's like 13 degrees out. Or, you know, I mean, I'm flesh and blood too. I'm just, you know, sometimes I'm just more spiritual than at other times. Sorry, it's just true. Bears win, I'm spiritual. Bears lose, I don't care if everybody goes to hell. I'm mad, you know. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Give me Lord and I. Especially the team that beat them. I want them to. No, all right. That's it. I'm just saying, I have good days and I have bad days. I have spiritual days and I have some, but you know what? Listen, that's why you can't base what you do on you. I like what Ecclesiastes says. It says, notice this, Song of Solomon, the wise man, wrote this, two are better than one, because they have a reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. And woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Now notice, I love Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I will just tell you this. I know that God's formula was to send them two by twos. That's what Jesus did. And he did that for a reason. He knew that not every city that they walked into was going to be receptive to the gospel. I've gone visiting by myself. And if I do, folks, let me just say this. It's not the best way to do it, but if I do, I have certain rules that I follow if I'm by myself. For instance, I never go into a home if I'm by myself. I'll witness at the door, but I never go into a home. Let not your good be evil spoken of. I don't know who's watching, but I know this. Anything that happens in a small town is all over the small town by nightfall. And so there's certain things if I have to go visiting by myself, I do, but I that's the way I do it. But I like going with somebody. But I'm going to tell you something. Ministry-wise, if you can find three strong people to be involved in a ministry outreach together, or three people, three Christians, and you know what? That thing will not be easily broken. It'll usually work. And there is just something about that. Now, this word accountability is important. Now, I've had a little fun, but listen to me. The word accountability is important. The only way that you are probably consistently going to be involved in soul winning in 2011 is if you are willing to make a commitment to accountability. If you're willing to join a ministry or commit to a visitation time. Well, preacher, I've looked at the visitation schedule at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it just doesn't, I can't go at those times. Then you have to, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to find somebody else that doesn't work for either, and you ought to get with them, and you ought to commit to a time to go together every week, same time, and commit to it, and be accountable to each other, and go. Now, if neither one of you have much character, then you ought to find somebody that has some character. But you need to make a commitment to go and build some accountability in. By the way, if you're going to do that, you ought to be accountable to your preacher also. Which means you ought to come see me and say, preacher, neither one of us can go because of our work schedules or whatever at any of the planned times. So we're going to do it this night at this time, or this afternoon at this time, or this morning at this time, and I'll hold you accountable to it. Which means from time to time I'll call you up and say, listen, where are you going? And I'll help you organize it, and I'll make sure you have a plan of where you're going. And I'll build in some accountability. Why? You just think you need to know everything? No, I'm trying to help you. And by the way, there does have to be somebody here that organizes this thing, and I'd like to put you in some place that fits in with the scheme of everything else that's going on, so we're not trampling on each other. Nothing wrong with organization. Nothing wrong with accountability. And so build this into your life. For many of our adults, even the Wednesday afternoon teen soul winning time has been a good time for them to go. I know we have teen visitation on Wednesday afternoons, but as an adult, if that works for you, that's a great help to Brother Reiser. It's good to have extra adults on that bus. It's good to have extra adult eyes out there. And he welcomes anybody that wants to come and be a help during that visitation time. Some of our adults don't visit on Saturday. They visit on Wednesday afternoon. Works good for them. We have a Saturday regional visitation opportunities. We've taken and putting out there 5 opportunities. You live near one of them. I promise you, you live near one of them. And again, those opportunities are there. And why, preacher? Why? Because if you go and there's a group of people that's expecting you and counting on you, and you're involved in an organized fashion, you're probably going to do it consistently. And if you don't, you're probably not. It's just a fact. Let me give you the last word here. Commitment, training, obedience, burden, accountability, and then it boils down to this last one I just mentioned a second ago, character. Character. You know, we can do everything else, but we can build in all of these other things, but you know what it boils down to it? A person just has to have the character to be a witness, to follow through. Because if you don't have personal integrity and you don't have character, no matter what else we set up to help you to do this, at some point you're going to find a reason, an excuse, and you're just going to fall off and not be involved with it. So there's nothing that can replace just good old-fashioned character. Character, personal integrity says this. You know what? There's a world that's dying and going to hell. Somebody loved me enough, cared enough about me to get the gospel to me. There's people out there that I'm debtor to. There's people out there that I have a responsibility to. I want to go out there and I want to obey the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on the days that I feel like it, and I'm going to do it on the days I don't feel like it. I'm going to do it on the days it's pleasant to be out there, and I'm going to do it on the days it's unpleasant to be out there. And I'm going to just make a commitment, and I'm going to have the character, the personal integrity, to follow through. Now, when you get to that point, you get that integrity thing, it allows you to also incorporate soul winning into all areas of your life, not just a visitation time. Not just a visitation time. Boy, I'll tell you, I felt burdened to say this, so I'm going to. In 2011, I really am going to probably keep after all of us to just get back to carrying gospel tracts with us again. Amen. Folks, listen, if the only thing you do and the only time you witness or get the gospel out is an hour a week, because you plan to go do it, I'm glad you're doing it, but honestly, we're supposed to be a witness everywhere we go. And gospel tracts are a great tool. A lot of times we are in a situation where we can't stop and get into a lengthy conversation, either because of our schedule or because of the person's responsibilities. But we can offer them a gospel tract. We can give them a quick witness. We can say, hey, I'd like to give you this. Inside of this little pamphlet are verses that will show you how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven when you die. I hope that you'll read it. And a good word along with the presentation of a gospel tract. I think we just kind of slacked off here. We are not leaving tracts like we used to leave. I know that because I'm the one that oversees the purchasing of them, and I know how many we buy and when they're being used and when they're not being used. Let's get back in 2011 to just to having our eyes open and being aware that God orchestrates divine appointments, not just during visitation times, not just during soul winning times. Amen. My goodness sakes, get the mentality of I'm a missionary. I've got mission fields. My family is a mission field. My neighborhood is a mission field. My workplace is a mission field. My community is a mission field. And just get that mentality of everywhere we go, I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. Take December and begin to make some definite plans towards 2011. We're taking a breath. We're taking a little bit of a break. But come January, folks, we're going to gear back up and say, when Pastor gets up and says, folks, we're back to full schedule, that's when you're going to plug in and be a part of our soul winning efforts here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts in this manner. I would like very much, Lord, to see an increase in the labors of the harvest. So please, move in our hearts. May you take what's been taught, and may this just be some spiritual seed that's been sowed into receptive hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us through the rest of the year to contemplate our schedule and to find time and make time to make a personal commitment to a soul-winning opportunity, a visitation opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you'd use what we've taught here. Remind us, Lord, of our responsibility. And, Lord, please help us to be obedient. And then, God, as we are, increase our burden, break our hearts. Help us to see this world as Christ saw it. We pray these things in Jesus' name.